Ha'omnam Kimosha Tara Shamachshava Chilaknu Ola Beis Chalakim Ha'echod B'maishim Ha'gufanim Ha'echod B'maishim Ha'avoda. Just like we spoke, he says, in explaining Tahara, in thought, in your kavana, in how you approach mitzvahs, into two categories. The first is that you do the mitzvah without intention of getting physical, material gain or pleasure from it. And the second, that you do it without the intention of getting covered or whatever. Those are the right, pure intentions in from the physical side and from the avoda side. Kein ha'iyun ha'mitzdarek kedei likno so yischalek lebeis. So just like we said, that is the goal, to be able to serve the Rabbanu Shel Olam without mixing in your own personal pleasure or the covet. So the way to acquire that also is split into two different ways. So the first way of preparing to acquire this midah is to think and contemplate how unimportant physical material things are. Well, the tire machshav to b'meisei avodaso, and the other thing, to think constantly, yir b'hishbonenuso al tire misakovo rukazovo, to think how unimportant and how false covet is. The argulasim avrochimeno, and to condition oneself to run away from covet. Oz yinoke b'eis avodaso mifnos al hashevach v'al hatehila she'alu b'nei adam, and then he won't be looking for praise, and people should praise him and know what he's doing or whatever and get recognition. And his intention will be purely l'shem shamayim. And he'll do it because he wants to serve the Rabbanu Shalom, who is the source of everything that he has and everything that he is. So he doesn't need any more covet from people or whatever. The ikur covet is to be serving the Rabbanu Shalom. That should be reason enough without having to have any external covet. So those are the two ways of acquiring what the goal is, to make one's avodas Hashem pure from physical and material gain and from covet. Okay. So how does a person get on the path to get towards these goals? Who has mono the divrei havodah v'mitzvos? The importance of preparing oneself for doing a mitzvah, and not just to do it. V'hainu shlo yikonis b'kiyum a mitzvah peta pito. Not just to do it immediately, but to prepare for it, to think about what you're doing. Shein daito adayim yushevus olav. Not to do the mitzvah without thinking beforehand, without preparing for it. Right, the yochel is bonded mashu olse. If you have a chance to think about the mitzvah, and you're able to think how to do it properly, and not to mix in any foreign thoughts, so then you'll be able to do it properly. If you just do it, inevitably the negative things are going to creep in. Eliyazmin asmo ledover, the yochel libo b'mason atchiyakonis b'isboninus. Right, if you prepare yourself for a mitzvah, or for any other avodah you do, or for learning Torah, whatever, then you'll, if you prepare yourself, part of the preparation will be to think into what you're doing. So think, what is he going to do, and how should he do it properly? And who is he serving with this mitzvah? If you prepare yourself for a mitzvah properly, and part of that is to think into what you're going to do, so then, what's it called? You will be able to purify that mitzvah and distill it in a the more perfect way. We have an example. The Chassidim Harishonim used to spend an hour in preparation before they would daven. The Acher Kach Mispalu. In order, when they daven, the davening should be done with the right kavana. So they needed an hour preparation for that. Right? They didn't just sit there for an hour and wait to daven. They did something. They prepared themselves. They prepared themselves in all different kinds of ways. Prepare themselves to have the right kavana, to take out of their mind all the other thoughts that they could have during davening, to clear their mind, to concentrate on the davening itself, and to maybe to learn some of the ideas behind the davening or the kavanos, right? Whatever they did in preparation for the mitzvah they were going to do. V'dochem mi'aleim ha'machshavos ha'zoros u'mismalim ha'yira v'ava tzricha. They did two things in the preparation. One, to push away any extraneous foreign thoughts that would disturb their tefillah, and secondly, to fill themselves with yiras Hashem and avas Hashem that was necessary to have intention when you daven. The Omer imata hachinosa libcha upeiras ve'ilav kapecha. Right, Eov said that if you prepare yourself before you spread out your hands in davening, and that goes for all mitzvahs. Person, the ikur, in fact, the Hasidic world, but I saw even in the Musar world, the ikur is not the mitzvah itself. The ikur is the hachana. In fact, the Bali Musar say that everything we do mitzvah-wise is just a preparation. The main place for mitzvahs is in the next world. Right? The main place for where a person really, his essence is doing the mitzvahs and Torah, that essence is only achieved in the next world. In this world, we prepare ourselves for that. We prepare by doing mitzvahs in this world and learning Torah in this world to prepare our essence to have that kind of essence for the future. So the whole Olam Hazeh is only preparation. This is everything a person has, is preparing. Right? It's Olam Hazeh is like Friday and Olam Haba is Shabbos. You prepare on Friday what you're going to need to be able to enjoy and to keep the Shabbos properly. So this world is the place where you make the preparation to be able to have in Olam Haba the result of what you prepare in this world. There's a famous word from the Chiddushei Arim in this week's Sedra. It's relevant also to the Sedra. The Sedra speaks about the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. That if you chance upon a bird's nest and you want the eggs or the chicks, so you have to send away the mother and then you can take the eggs or the chicks. This only applies, what's it called, if you chance upon it. But if it's something that you already own, you have a chicken coop or whatever, you don't have to send away the chickens every time you want to take the eggs. Right? It's only b'mikre, ki yikore kan sipur, right? If you chance upon it. So the Gemara says in Chulin that mitzvah, what's it called, the two mitzvahs, the Torah told you specifically what the reward is, and it's Olam Haba, right? Arichas Yomim, you'll have eternal life. One mitzvah is kibud av va'em, and the other is shiluach hakein. So the Gemara says to tell me that not the more serious mitzvah, more graver mitzvah is kibud av va'em, is one of it's honoring a parent, just like honoring the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So it's one of the more serious mitzvahs, and shiluach hakein is a mitzvah kala. It's not a serious mitzvah, not an intense mitzvah, more of a light mitzvah. Mitzvah kala. Simple mean why it's a mitzvah kala, it doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to spend any money, you just come upon it, and you're gonna get the eggs, right? You're not losing anything, so you send away the mother. No chisor and kis. There's no loss of money, so it's an easy mitzvah. That's a simple meaning. Says the Chiddushei Arim, the reason that Shiluach HaKein is called a mitzvah kala is because it's a mitzvah you can't prepare for if you chance upon it. So it's not something that you can prepare for in advance. And a mitzvah that you can't prepare for can't be anything more than a mitzvah kala. The gravity of the mitzvah depends on how much preparation you put into it. The more preparation, the more serious the mitzvah can be. The less preparation, the less serious it can be. And the truth is that when it comes to Pesach, and now also when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the main ideas of those Yomim Tovim is preparation. Right? Look at Pesach. You can obviously see that the majority of what we do for Pesach is what's it called? Is preparation. Right? So one of the kashrus organizations reported that I think this is Rabbi Krakowski from the OU, told me that they went to kosher a plant for Pesach. That was a lot of work to kosher a big what you call industrial plant for Pesach, and the Goyish owner of the plant or the whatever asked Rabbi Krakowski, how many months does this Pesach last? Mm-hmm. He says 8 days. He said 8 days, and we went through all this work to kosherize, you know, this plant for 8 days. So yeah, that's, you know, it's not only his question. The Chora women have that big question too, right? You spend a month, right, and a half preparing for Pesach, and then it's over in 8 days. So the Ikar is the preparation, but it's in the mitzvahs also. The mitzvahs of Pesach are all represent the fact that we're involved in the preparation. The Yontif starts before it starts. Right? Erev Yontif, already you can't eat chametz. You're already preparing for the Yontif before it even comes. Not only that, we always like to explain that we're not celebrating our redemption from Egypt, because there's an argument whether Bichlal, you remember Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. It's in the Haggadah, right? It's a Gemara. And the simple explanation why there's a question is because we didn't go out of Mitzrayim at night. We went out of Mitzrayim in the morning. So Yetzias Mitzrayim was not at night, it was in the morning. So maybe there's no idea to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. Right? To only remember it in the daytime, because that's when we went out. The opinion that says that you do remember Yetzias Mitzrayim at night is because Lamaisa, from midnight on, we had the potential to leave. Paro already let us go at midnight, when the Makas Bechoros came. But Moshe told them, we're not leaving like Ganovim at night, we're waiting until the morning and leave Bekovet. So they had the potential to leave after midnight, but they didn't actually leave till the morning. So the Machlokas is, do you go after the potential or the actuality? Okay. But it's very interesting that the Iker Mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is Pesach night, is Dafka at night and Dafka before Chatzos, before midnight. So we're celebrating in a time when we didn't go out. But the answer is, we're not celebrating going out of Egypt. We remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. Then the Shal is when to remember it, in the potential time or the actual time. But Pesach, we're living through this idea again. And the main thing wasn't that we went out of Mitzrayim, because the Rabbanu Shem took us out of Mitzrayim. We didn't do anything. We were totally passive, right? The Rabbanu Shem took us out. He redeemed us. What was our part? Our part was to prepare for it. The whole part that we had was preparation. So we don't celebrate when we relive it what the Rabbanu Shem did. Let him celebrate. We celebrate what we did to be zoche, to be able to be redeemed. So we dafka do it in the time when we had Korban Pesach, and we had what's it called, the Mitzvah Bris Milah that night. All the things we did to prepare, that's what we celebrate. And therefore the entire Yontif is represented by preparation. It starts way before the Yontif. Even Erev Yontif, there's already halachas that apply. Everything in preparation, right? It's not what came out. The result is the preparation. That's the Iker. And this month, the same thing. The truth is that the whole month of Elul and Aseret Yemei Teshuva are a preparation for that one moment at the end of Yom Kippur that the Rabbanu Shalom will forgive our sins. What do we have to do? Prepare for that. So Rosh Hashanah is a preparation for Yom Kippur, it says. V'dovid Hashem Ori, Ori is a Rosh Hashanah, Shemeir es haderech liyom ha-Kippurim. It lights the way, it prepares the way to Yom Kippur. So, and Elul is a preparation for that. And it's clear that what it all patterns itself after the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and the Rabbanu Shalom gave us the Luchos again, the Torah, second time on Yom Kippur. So everything that happened from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur was all preparation. It was just preparation that then the Rabbanu Shalom should come through and give us the Torah again. And in fact, the Ran says that according to the opinion that says that man was created on Rosh Hashanah, now the world was created in Tishrei. So I understand what Rosh Hashanah is all about. But there's another opinion in the Gemara that the world was created in Nisan. So man wasn't created on the first day of Tishrei, it was created on the first day of Nisan. So what do we celebrate Rosh Hashanah for? What is Rosh Hashanah then? So the Ran says that the Kapara of Yom Kippur didn't all of a sudden happen on Yom Kippur, but it was a process that began on Rosh Hashanah, right? And the preparation for that slicha of Chet HaEgel started already on Rosh Hashanah, and it was a 10-day process. So the beginning of the process we also celebrate, but really the whole thing is just a preparation. Even Kiyah Shofar is just a preparation to wake you up so you'll do tshuva. And the tshuva is a preparation that then, if you'll do tshuva, then the Rabbanu Shel Olam will forgive you and be matire you. So the whole, and the month of Elul is a preparation for that. The whole 40 days were a preparation for the Rabbanu Shel Olam giving us the second Ruach. So just like over there, the Geula came, the Rabbanu Shel Olam did it. We didn't do anything. We just prepared ourselves for it. Same thing over here. We don't purify ourselves on Yom Kippur. Lifnei mi'atem mitairin. We're mitair in front of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, but he's mitair eschem. He's the one who does, he's the one who purifies us. We don't purify ourselves. Right? So in order to get tahara, which is what we're talking about here, you need to prepare. So you have 40 days of preparation for that 1 second that Yom Kippur ends. That's when the tahara happens. That's when the kapara happens. And that last second of Yom Kippur, right, you have 40 days to prepare for 1 second. That's the inyan.
Bring that idea that from the whole time from Rosh Hashanah is all preparation, as if it were the Chazal say that Rosh Hashanah tzaddikim are nechtamim,
because the Rabbanu Shel Olam is kosei v'chosei on Rosh Hashanah, right? It's a hachana, but if, so for the people who need, no, it's a hachana, right? You're making yourself a whole year, or at least from Elul, and then if you're a tzaddik gomer by that time, then your preparation is finished. And then the Rabbanu Shel Olam is kosei v'chosei, he finishes off the thing. Yom Kippur is needed for the people who need more than that. Even though, according to most opinions, even Yom Kippur still is needed even for tzaddikim gemurim. Right? Their gzardin is on Yom Kippur. It's just that their nichtav also, what's it called, but the gzardin is even for tzaddikim gemurim is Yom Kippur. But in any case, even if not, even according to those opinions that say that a tzaddik gomer is finished on Rosh Hashanah, but the Rabbanu Shel Olam finishes, and the Maisa, then he finishes preparation on Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't need anymore. For most people, the preparation goes until Yom Kippur, but it's still only preparation.
I'm not sure if I understand that. I would have thought that when we say it's preparation, that means that it can only serve Yom Kippur, and the Kippur can only be on, you know, Gzardin can only be on Yom Kippur. Because if you say that, you know, that it could happen on Rosh Hashanah, that's Masha, that's not necessary preparation.
No, it is. It's preparation for people who still need it. If you can prepare something quickly, or you can it takes more preparation. So people who need more preparation, their preparation ends on Yom Kippur. And the people who need less, their preparation ends at the end of Rosh Hashanah, end of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And so people can prepare their house, what's it called? You can have two zmanim. You can be ready for Pesach before Shabbos HaGadol, or you can wait till Erev Pesach. So the people who are finished before are finished before. That's all. Their preparation ended earlier, that's all. Okay, so therefore, what's it called? So the whole Avodas Hashem, both in this world, both in Yomim Tovim, the Ikar is the preparation, even for Shavuos, right? The Rosh Hashanah is like that, Pesach is like that. Shavuos, the Ikar of Shavuos is the 49 days that you count in preparation. In fact, the Yontif is called Shavuos because as much as you prepared in those weeks, that's what you have, a Yontif. Even the Yontif is 1 day, but what you prepared for 7 weeks, that's what the Yontif is. It's Shavuos. Right, so all of the Yomim Tovim, the Iker is the Hachana. In fact, everything in this world. And a mitzvah you don't prepare for, you just do, you know, on the spot, right, without any preparation, like the Chiddush Arim says, inevitably is going to be a very lightweight mitzvah. Okay, so that's what he says. The main thing is, in Tahara, is preparation. Thinking, that's what we spoke about last week. But in order to think, you need to prepare. In fact, the Behuda says, that is the purpose of a bracha. That's why the Rabbanan made a bracha before you do a mitzvah. Just like they made a bracha before you eat. So you should think, before you're eating, what the purpose of eating is. Who gave you this food? Right? That you should be able to eat with the right intention, not just to fill your stomach. And that's also tahara. Tahara means that I'm doing this not just like an animal, right, for my own pleasure, but I'm doing it with a higher intention. That's the idea of tahara that we've learned until now. So you make a bracha on food to understand that you're eating for a higher purpose than just to fill your stomach. Same thing goes with a mitzvah. The purpose of the bracha before a mitzvah is that you should know what you're doing, prepare yourself for it, right? Understand who you're doing this mitzvah for. It's not stam, right? The Rabbanu Shem Kamiasher Kedushanu b'mitzvosav, that there's kedusha that comes from that mitzvah, right? And that's just a command, and if you have the right intention, then you do the mitzvah. It's much better. So at least you have to have some preparation, at least the bracha. And therefore the Rabbi Yehuda says that the Hasidim who instituted to say l'shem yichud is unnecessary, because that was the reason the bracha was there for.
What about the brachas in the morning? We say one often.
Yeah, those are not brachas on something, right? Because even if you don't experience those things, you have to make the bracha. Those are brachas on the nature of the world, brachas of shevach v'hodah. In other words, the phenomenon that happened in the world, you want to also recognize the fact they come from the Rabbanu Shel Olam.
So as you say them,
right? You're supposed to think about the phenomenon, but that's a different kind of bracha. That's a bracha like tefillah, shevach v'hodah. We're talking about brachas now that you make before you do something, before you do a mitzvah, before you eat. Those brachas, right, are there to make you think about what you're going to do. People who don't acquire tahara, who lose it because they don't think. Not thinking into the fact that the pleasures of this world, if they're not done for a higher purpose, they're just done like an animal, then they're like an animal, then they're very unimportant. Redifus HaKovid, running after Kovid, is also very false. Miut HaChana LaVoda, and not preparing properly for doing mitzvahs, all of these things make a person lose the ability to have tahara. Ki Abeis HaRishonim Heim Mefatim Mesamachshova Umeimamshichim Osel HaPnios. The first two things, not realizing how vain COVID is and how unimportant physical material pleasures are, right, lead a person to do his thing when he does in this world for the sake of those things, right? And this is just like a woman who strays from her husband, right, and takes on foreign men. Same thing over here, you're straying from the Rabbanu Shel Olam and taking on foreign ideas and foreign intentions. That's why foreign thoughts, in other words, doing Avodas Hashem not altruistically, l'shem shemayim, but doing it for other ulterior motives, is like znus. It's like swaying for, like a woman swaying from her husband. You're swaying from the Rabbanu Shel Olam and doing things for other purposes. It's like going after those thoughts which are not pure thoughts, are like going after a woman going after a man who's not her husband. Just like the woman should have been faithful and connected to her husband, and she now is connecting herself to other things, person's mind should have been connected to the Rabbanu Shel Olam and what he's doing, and not connected into his pleasure and his covet or whatever. And not preparing means that you're not going to think into these things. So we finish Midas HaTahara, and then Amir Sashem, next week we will start Midas HaChasidus. Next Midah. Slowly getting to the Midah of Ruach HaKodesh and Tchias HaMesim, so hold on, and very soon we'll all have Ruach HaKodesh and Tchias HaMesim. Yeah.
When people, you know, the philanthropists donate zillions of dollars, tons different, they put up their names. How does that fit into this?
Okay. The first of all, many times they don't put up their own names necessarily, but they put up Leilui Nishmas somebody, whatever. In addition, it says that even if a person does it and he doesn't want the cover, still he should put his name on it. Why? Because it's an incentive to other people to be able to give tzedakah, right? Not everybody, in fact, most people are not so altruistic to have reached the madrega of tahara. and they need, like mitoshalolishma bolishma, they need some kind of recognition. And most people will not give to tzedakah unless they get some kind of recognition. So if people see that people who give get recognition, then that will be incentive for them to give. So therefore, it's good for people to announce their pledges when there's a long time.
For people, they don't necessarily have the money and say, okay, how much are you contributing?
Right. Even it says that there's even a svara that a person who can't give, but his intentions are that he announces a pledge that other people should want to give because of that. In other words, sometimes a person, nobody knows who can give and who can't give. Sometimes people were wealthy people and they're not capable now. They have, you know, cash flow problems or whatever, you know, that rich people have. So they can't really give now. But they make a pledge because if they don't make the pledge, other people will say, well, if this guy doesn't give, why should we? So they make a pledge knowing they can't give it. And they say, believe me, they're under their breath or whatever, but to be an incentive for other people. Some people hold that's okay. Others hold that it's var sheker tircha, you can't do that. But there is opinions that you could do such a thing.
Yeah, but if the people then don't come through with a pledge, then they can schmutz their name too and start lashon hara. You know,
yeah, okay, so there's plenty of ways of covering up whether you came across with the pledge or not. Not that I'm familiar with them, but in any case, there are ways like that. So that is what's it called. So that's another reason why people do put their names on things. Right, and it's an incentive for other people to want to do it, and you're giving the incentive. If this person says, look, I don't really want my name, I don't really care if my name is there, I'm doing it the Shem Shemayim, but if my name being there will give an incentive to other people to give, then I'm willing to suffer getting covered for the sake of the tzedakah. That's also, if a person really means that, then adarabah, he's sacrificing, right, his ability to do something which he'd really rather do anonymously. Right, many times we tell people they'll get kibbudim here, right, who say they don't want it or whatever. But we tell them, look, it's important because then people see that people who are oskim b'tzorchei tzibur, they get some recognition, and then other people want to be oskim b'tzorchei tzibur, and there are people really are they don't like the fact, but they're willing to sacrifice in order that other people should understand that people who are oskim b'tzorchei tzibur get recognition. So that's what we tell people a lot of times to convince them to take the COVID, and sometimes really true that's really how they feel. They don't want that COVID at all, and they're doing it only because it'll benefit the tzibur. So that's and then there's the other reason too, which maybe is a good portion of the time, people want the COVID, and that gives them incentive to give themselves, and they haven't reached a madrega of doing things 100% l'shem shemayim. Better that tzedakah should get the money, right, and they should do it l'shol l'shem shemayim, then they shouldn't give it, right, because they're only doing it l'shol l'shem shemayim, and the tzedakah shouldn't get the money. So it's the lesser of two evils for sure.
Along the same lines.
Yeah.
So a person does whatever he or she does for the tzibur l'shem shemayim, nagid, to a certain extent. But where do you draw the line between, you know, the cover that you maybe do want, or encouragement or appreciation? For example, when people do things with Shem Shemayim, very often there are some people who are going to be knocking it. So those people really want to know if other people do appreciate it. You know, otherwise why...
It's a natural feeling to for a person to want people to at least be makir tova if they get tova from you.
Yeah.
Okay. On the other hand, anybody who's osik b'tzorchei tzibur and thinks that people are going to be makir tova has to have his head examined.
Well, but
the majority of people don't be very careful. A majority of people feel magiyali, and if you're doing something and I benefit from it, I deserve it. So why should I owe you? The only thing is that if you don't do it exactly as I would like it to be, right, then I have a right to complain. So most people are like that. Okay. And therefore, there's a special mishaberach for people who are also b'tzarchei tzibur, because only HaKadosh Baruch Hu yishalim svarim. It's usually not going to come from people.
Yeah. That's not really the point, I think.
I mean, do you think can a person expect? Can he feel that I deserve at least some recognition?
Well, yeah,
not recognition.
Theoretically,
but
if I was doing something with b'tzarchei tzibur, and you know, five people come and complain,
right,
and other people show appreciation. Now, should I theoretically not want people to show appreciation?
No. Appreciation is not the same thing as kavod.
Or encouragement.
Right. Kavod is where it's what's it called? I'm doing it because I want honor. I'm doing it because it's going to be well known that I did something. No, I don't have, so people showing appreciation, I don't have to feel honor because of that, but I feel that I accomplished something, right? I'm not looking for people's, you know, praise, but I'm looking at least that if I did something, that people should appreciate it, right? That's a different feeling than COVID. It's not that I'm getting praised and I feel big shot. I feel that I accomplished something because people appreciate it. If people don't appreciate it, then what do I do, right? I ended up doing something that cost me time, money, or whatever it may be, and nobody appreciates it anyway. So what was the tachlis? So wanting for people to appreciate it is not necessarily covered. It's a simple human thing to know that I accomplished something. That's not covered. It could be, but it's not necessarily that thing yet. That for sure, a person has a right to feel that people don't appreciate it, then. Right, unless I know for sure what I did was good, and tag with the people, so what they don't appreciate it, so that's their problem. Right, but if people say they don't, what did I bother for? If I did it for the sake of these people, and they don't appreciate it, so what did I accomplish? So a person can have a feeling that he wants at least to be, what's the word I'm looking for? To be, the word's on the tip of my tongue. To be
validated.
That's the word, exactly. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Just want to validate. Thank you. You get $50 a night and a cigar. To be validated. That's the thing. They just want to. What they're doing is validated. And if people don't know if I did it, what was the tachlis of doing it? If nobody appreciates it, that validation is not covered. It's a different thing.